You're listening to the Buzzer Beater Podcast with Jack Stern here on Castle Country Radio, back with another episode. Lot to talk about between the last episode and now. Bunch of Utes were out competing in the NFLPA Bowl, Shrine Game, the Senior Bowl as well. We'll talk about who improved their stock the most, who has struggled. Utah basketball had a commanding blowout win over the Colorado Buffaloes. We'll get into what that means. Also, another good win last night against the Cal Bears. Even though they haven't won a game in the conference, still a momentum-swinging win for the Utes. We'll talk about the implications of that, how the Pac-12 is doing. Coming into this weekend, I thought Arizona was the clear-cut favorite to win the Pac-12. But after watching them get blown out by UCLA several weeks ago, I'm not so sure anymore. We'll dive into all that and more on this episode of the Buzzer Beater Podcast. Starting off, though, let's talk about the guys at the Senior Bowl. Mitch Wishnowsky, the punter, Chase Hansen, linebacker, and Marquise Blair, the safety. One guy who I think has improved his stock a lot is Wishnowsky. And that's not saying a whole lot because punters typically are not taken high in the draft. They're not as coveted. Being a punter is kind of a different beast in of itself. But he has a strong leg. He's an Australian guy, if that means anything. A lot of punters in the NFL come from Australia. And he led the Pac-12 in yards per punt and kicks inside the 20. He has a huge leg, and there's always a market for that in the league. I don't think he's going to be a high-round pick, but I do think looking back on it in a few years, he could be one of those elite punters in the NFL. And he came through Utah to do it. Another special teams player who I think has a very good chance of making an impact in the NFL and was competing in the Shrine Game, didn't take part in the Senior Bowl, but it doesn't matter. Matt Gay, great kicker. Something I think that's really impressive about Gay, just not looking at the Shrine Game, is how good he is at kicking in cold weather conditions. He has made long field goals in the snow. Colorado, I saw him make a 46-yarder. He's a good kicker, and there's always a market for those. But switching gears to the actual skill players, so to speak, if that's what you want to call them. Marquise Blair is a really intriguing prospect. Now, I don't think he's the prototypical safety in today's NFL, but he's a hard hitter. He can play all over the field, and he's very rangy. Always seems to be making plays around the football. Led the team in tackles this past season. So, this is an intriguing prospect as well. Second on the team in tackle, excuse me. Chase Hansen, another guy, before he went down with that injury in the Pac-12 championship game, I think there's going to be some question about whether or not he's able to stay healthy, given his track record. Missed 2017 with an injury. Is also 25 years old at this point. So I think there's a lot of question about his ability to stay on the field. At the same time, he was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year for a reason. He's an outstanding linebacker. Big, strong, tough, three-down backer, which you don't really see, which you see a lot more in today's NFL, but they're still rare and hard to come by. Excellent closing speed. Good instincts when you turn on the tape. So I think he's another person who could sneak his way into potentially a mid-round draft slot. Looking at some of the other guys, though, Jackson Barton, the offensive tackle, he didn't do anything to really stand out above everyone else, but just his pure stature in of itself is going to help him get drafted potentially or make at least make an NFL roster. Remember, there's only 200-something draft choices, and there's tons of college players. So it doesn't being drafted isn't everything. But he's 6'7", 313 pounds. Teams are always looking for depth on the offensive line because guys get injured a lot. And more we're seeing swing tackles, these guys who come down on run downs. Act is another big body force up front. So I think he has a shot of making an impact in that regard. Be interesting to see how it unfolds. And obviously the pro day is going to mean a whole lot. But his brother, Cody Barton, as well, has a chance of making the NFL. He was out at the Shrine Game. He got a lot of recognition. They have football in their genes. Their father played football and baseball. So I really like where those two are at. Speaking of which, Utah has really come onto the national map. The Utah football program has really come onto the national map in terms of talent production. They have a bunch of guys playing in the NFL now. Seems like the team is able to put on a good performance year after year. Coach Whittingham has quietly done an outstanding job building that program from the ground up. Not from the ground up, but he's done a good job sustaining success. And when you're not in a recruiting hotbed like Los Angeles, Texas, or Florida, that's not something that's easy to do. And remember, you're competing with USC and UCLA in your conference, who both are in those territories. So they, all things considered, relatively speaking, they've done well. They've made bowl games each of the past couple of seasons. I think it's something like 13 out of his 15 seasons he's made a bowl, Whittingham has. Obviously, they didn't get the exact result they wanted in the Pac-12 championship game. But the program has done a really good job as a whole for a long time. And I think there's a lot of good things to come going forward as well. There's no reason to believe that's going to change. And notably so, he's built his program around the trenches, getting these big, strong, mean guys up front who love to play football, who are tough, physical. And that's kind of speaks to the fact that there are so many of those guys who go on to play professional ball. It's really impressive. So fans should be very appreciative of the state of the program right now. Switching gears to some Pac-12 basketball on the hardwood. We'll get into Utah and how they've done recently. I've been really impressed by their defensive efforts as of recent. And they've had a really good stretch the past few games. Past four games. They're on a four-game winning streak right now. Held Cal to 64, Stanford to 66. I didn't like the fact that they kind of just squeaked by Stanford by 4 points. But hey, playing on the road is tough in college basketball. They're still finding their rhythm. It's okay. But the team is, I've seen a much better team effort watching the Utes than I have early on. Timmy Allen's really stepped up. Cedric Bearfield obviously has been the star of the show. One of the better point guards in the Pac-12. Donnie Tillman's done a good job crashing the boards. Jace Johnson's been a nice little side contributor. So they're getting that type of production all across the board, which on a previous episode is exactly what I said they needed. And they've gotten it. Donnie Tillman's had a good performance as well. It's good. Things are looking up for the Utes. And if they continue to go on their current trajectory, they have a shot at potentially winning a Pac-12, getting into the NCAA tournament. Right now, they're second in the Pac-12. If you told me that 2 weeks ago, I would have thought you were crazy. I would have said it was Arizona's conference to win. But I don't feel that way anymore. I feel it's wide open. And after watching Washington the past few weeks, I don't think they're any great shakes either. Obviously, they're a great team defensively. They're 7-0 in the conference, but they've had a couple games where they've just squeaked by. The next stretch for Utah, in my opinion, is going to really talk about their DNA as a team. Because they play Oregon, Oregon State, USC, have a home game against Arizona and another against Washington. They play USC twice. They play Washington one more time, and then they play Oregon State one more time. If this team is going to make a serious run, they're going to have to win a couple of those games. And having home court advantage against, or having home court advantage at least one of the two times they play USC is good. But they're going to need to start playing better on the road because they have to go play Washington and Seattle, and that's no easy place to play. Anyway, looking at the other teams in the Pac-12, I think at this point we can count out Cal. They don't have a conference win yet. In terms of winning the Pac-12, I don't think Cal has a shot anymore. Colorado has looked really inconsistent. Something needs to give with Tad Boyle. I mean, this Jekyll and Hyde dilemma where they play one good half of basketball and lay down flat in the other is not cutting it. And it's beyond just the players lost in injuries, too. I need to see more of a sustained performance from the team, and I'm kind of shocked that it hasn't happened yet. Anyway, I don't think that Colorado or Washington State or Cal have a shot at winning the Pac-12 at this point. Arizona stumbled. They're a young team. They might not be able to get it done. Speaking of which, I want to dive into that a little bit. Something we've seen, not just in the Pac-12, but all across college basketball, is mid-major programs emerging come March because they have older rosters. And that's something we've seen in the Pac-12 too. Programs where guys aren't just coming in for a semester, playing, and then declaring for the NBA. Teams which have veteran experience, guys who have gone through it together, they're the ones who are ultimately the most successful down the stretch. And I think that's going to be good for Utah. And that's why Washington has been so good, because the older teams are more biologically developed at this age. The difference between an 18 and a 21-year-old is very noticeable. And having experience playing college basketball at that level is also invaluable, in my opinion. So that's something that's been interesting to watch. But going back to the situation with Tad Boyle at Colorado, out of all the coaches in the Pac-12, I think he has to be the one who's sitting squarely on the hot seat. And there's a part of me that feels bad saying that simply because of all the bad cards he's been dealt. Losing McKinley Wright to an injury for a game. Not having Deleon Brown because of academic ineligibility, whatever that is, which is embarrassing. Naaman Wright goes down with an injury. Dallas Walton, a torn ACL in his right knee. He said it earlier that this has been one of his... He's been tested the most this season, more than any other. And it makes sense given all the injuries that have occurred. But at the same time, that's not an excuse for the inconsistency between halves, the sloppy turnovers, the poor play. It's a next man up sport, to be completely honest, and I expected to see better production across the board. They have two of the best players in the conference, Tyler Bay, third in the Pac-12 in rebounding, outstanding player. McKinley Wright, one of the best, arguably the best point guard in the conference. There's no reason they should be losing these types of games to Stanford like they lost last night. They were outscored 44-21 in the second half. To me, that's unacceptable. When they have a good first half, they lie down in the second half. And when they have a bad first half, they come alive in the second half, but oftentimes it's too late, which is exactly what we saw when they played Utah. and were down by as much as 28. Yesterday, the card was flipped. In the first half, they were up by as much as 12, led by 6 at the break, and then lost by double digits. To me, that's unacceptable when you have this much talent on your roster. I just think you need to do a better job of coaching, game managing, finding a way to get these guys motivated, because they don't look like they, it looks like they lack energy and intensity at times. And it's disappointing for a lot of Buffs fans to see them play this poorly. Big game against Oregon State coming up on Thursday. I think it's almost a must win in a sense. We'll see what happens. But I just expect them to play better, period. End of story. Discussion over. Anyway, the one person from the Utah area that I forgot to talk about, admittedly so, who played at the Senior Bowl yesterday, was Dax Raymond, the tight end from Utah State. I feel bad because small school products, in my opinion, just don't get the love they deserve. You know, regardless of Power 5 or not, if you can play in the NFL, you deserve a shot. You know what I mean? There's guys at the small school level. Hate to bring his name up, but Kareem Hunt is the most classic example in my mind. Coming out of Toledo a few years ago, had an outstanding Senior Bowl, third round pick, and then was the NFL's leading rusher last year, or 2 years ago now. Speaking about Raymond, though, big tight end, 6'5", 250 pounds. And he's the 21st player from Utah State selected to the Senior Bowl since 1962. And the first since Kyler Fackrell in 2016, the linebacker. So it's been a couple of years since they've had someone invited. So please find a way to forgive me for leaving him out originally. But he's another intriguing prospect just because of his size. There's always going to be a space for these big tight ends in the NFL, just like kickers. Because they're a quarterback's best friend. Look at Zach Ertz, Travis Kelce in Kansas City. It's always good to have that big body safety blanket who can play some basketball against defensive backs and box them out. And Raymond has really good after the catch ability, which is what's impressed me. He averages just under 13 yards a reception, which is pretty impressive. Pretty solid mark. Over 300 yards receiving last year. And he has untapped potential too. He missed 4 games this year with a broken hand, so we didn't really get to see his full impact. But I think that he could be just hitting his peak as he gets set to enter the NFL. He will likely need to put on some muscle mass. Only 250 pounds at 6'5" is not going to cut it. And I do think he'll need to accumulate to the NFL. It's going to take some time. He reminds me a lot of Dallas Goedert coming out last year from South Dakota State, though, in the sense that they were both these, you know, big monster type tight ends who were better on the receiving end, but also could do some blocking, could kind of line up at both the X and the Y position on the field. And I mean, matching up against NFL linebackers and defensive backs is going to be a bit of an adjustment. And he will need to work on getting separation, because that's a key component of success as well. But it's you know, as a tight end, that's not as important, because a lot of times it's all about the 50-50 contested catches. It's not necessarily about getting separation. He made a mark, though. I talked to a couple scouts who said he had a really good game and that a lot of teams liked him. Good personality. Good off the field as well. Stayed out of trouble. He was an all academic all-conference honors. He earned that recognition. So this is kind of more cerebral type guy, which is what a lot of teams look for when they're evaluating these guys, and a nice thing as well. So I think he could bring a lot to the table. he really stood out during his time with the Aggies as well. He was that type. He was that small school guy who people knew were going to the NFL. Now, this is a particularly weak tight end class as well, so maybe he even sneaks his way into a late-round selection. But it's going to be hard getting that type of notice and recognition as a smaller school guy. He did help his case, though, had a couple catches, had a good week of practice, which I think is one of the most important things at the Senior Bowl, and he made a good impact with the coaches as well, in their minds. So I'm excited to see what the future holds for this guy, the small school product. It'll be interesting to just keep an eye on this as we go through the next few months, see if they can maybe these guys from not just Utah State, not just Raymond from Utah State, but the guys from Utah are able to elevate their stock with a good pro day. I expect them all to do well, but that's going to be the key component. Anyway, thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Buzzer Beater Podcast with Jack Stern. I'll be sure to get back at you next week with all the basketball that's going on. This is Jack Stern signing off. Have a good week, Utes fans.